Yeah. Yeah. Come on. What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I'm your gracious host, Tariq Nasheed, and glad to have everybody tuning in all over the world, broadcasting live. It's Arete Sase season, ladies and gentlemen. Arete Sase Eve, as we say. Foundation of Black American Holiday, Arete Sase will be celebrating it all day tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. We're here. Let everybody know that we're live right now. Retweet the broadcast. Let everybody know that we're live. What we're going to do, family, we're going to take that real quick commercial break. And we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio. Don't you move a muscle.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game. Jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Have you been feeding your skin quality ingredients? Are you dealing with any type of skin condition such as eczema, hyperpigmentation, body acne, or discoloration? Here at Joy House Essentials, our triple whip shea butter is 100% handmade and whipped to perfection, guaranteeing results you will see and feel instantly. Give your skin the nourishment it deserves and stop using harmful, chemical-based products today. You can find us at www.thejoyhouseshop.net or give us a follow on Instagram at @jheshop. Joy House Essentials, let's elevate together.
This corrupt, but I'm here to let you know something. I'm gonna put you up on this Skype, the customizable
tipping app,
the only app paying out indie label music publishing. Trick out the app and get music publishing money on Skype. You can get music publishing money on this app called Skype. It's so super cracking. They set new trends to help FBA stack more paper. You gotta check out this app. It's on Google Play. App Store. Hey, I want to give big ups to Diplo. System D128 was cracking with you, DJ J-Mob. I see you. Know them my folks. But also, Lil Diesel, a.k.a. Dave Ski, was cracking with you. My guy, thanks for putting me up on
Skybert.
Good looking, man.
Skybert at ORG.
What's up, family? You guys need to check out this cookie company out of Houston, Texas called The Cookie Confidant. Man, they sell these beautiful, delicious, huge cookies right out of Houston, Texas, man. And the brother has been in business since 2017. And I've tried these cookies, man. They are bomb, bomb, bomb. Very delicious. My personal favorite are the chocolate chip pecan cookies, man. They are bomb. Y'all need to go to cookieconfidant.com. to get these cookies. Black-owned company, man. They got chocolate chip peanut butter cookies, white chocolate cookies with sprinkles, man. So anything you like in a cookie, they got it. So again, go to cookieconfidant.com. That's cookieconfidant.com.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at ogoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground. So you can feel free when you out in the town. Ogoon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuned into the legendary OG. Tariq Nasheed.
I want to apologize to all my friends.
On Tariq Radio.
Where is Tariq getting all this cash?
Oh, we're back. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. We are back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Welcome. It is Arete Sase Eve. Ladies and gentlemen, glad to have y'all here. What y'all doing, man? I hope y'all had a great week. I know I'm very late this week doing the broadcast. I've been handling so much other business stuff going on with the museum, dealing with my lawyer based on some of these cases we're putting on, ops. So it's been a pretty busy week. You know what? Let me get on camera for the family. How about that? Let me get on camera and show y'all my holiday. I got on my holiday Arete Sase sweater with the A hat. The A is for Arete Sase. So I'm Arete Sase'd up right now. Arise. I want to show y'all me, how I'm rolling. Got the Arete Sase card right here. Look at this. Got the Arete Sase card. So I'm celebrating Arete Sase season, ladies and gentlemen. It's real over here. The family and I are celebrating Arete Sase early. I'm in the Arete Sase spirit right now, ladies and gentlemen. Where my beautiful foundational Black American family. Right now, let's talk about Arete Sase season. And y'all excuse my gardeners are outside doing work for Arete Sase season. Man, I'm very happy to celebrate. What's up, Elevation Allah? You dig? I'm very happy to celebrate our foundational Black American holiday that we created, where we give honor to our own ancestors for the sacrifices they made for us. We've been presented with all of these different types of cultures and customs that were brought to us by outside people. For a long time, family, we've been told that we have to look to outside cultures for influence. And the ancestors, they've come back to tell us, no, you don't have to do that. You look in the mirror. You look at who you are. We don't have to look outside anywhere. We don't have to look outside of anywhere because our culture as foundational Black Americans is so rich, it's so thorough, it's so inspiring. We can look to ourselves for the inspiration we need, ladies and gentlemen. Family, us celebrating our own foundational Black American holiday is a major power move. You dig? Us celebrating our foundational Black American holiday, that's a power move for us. That is a power move. Okay? When you can define what your culture is going to be, you can create whatever your culture and your customs are going to be, and you practice that without the approval of the dominant society, that's power, ladies and gentlemen. No Kwanzaa. And let's be real, a lot of us don't really celebrate Kwanzaa anyway because it's too disconnected to our culture. We've never gotten to Kwanzaa, we're going to be real. So people are saying we want a sweater. If you want to go, you want a sweater, go to aretesase.com. Take a good look at this sweater, by the way. Yep, Arete Sase Day is tomorrow, actually. We're celebrating it now. We're starting early. Now you look at this, the Arise, Arete Sase, the stars that we looked to when we were getting freedom. You see that right here? That's a bunch of Harriet Tubmans leading the way. These are a bunch of Harriet Tubmans right here. Y'all better get with this sweater. You dig? You better get with this. Oh, yeah, yeah, y'all like the coordination? Yeah, Kamala Harris does Kwanzaa. But listen, man. We've always had a little thing and I asked about Kwanzaa. A lot of us we weren't feeling Kwanzaa. For a few reasons, like I said, we weren't feeling it because of the cultural disconnect. These are foreign languages that we were using, Kwanzaa, emoji, whatever, all of that stuff. And also the brother who created Kwanzaa, you know, his background has always been kind of sketchy. What's up, Long Beach? Shout out to my LBC family. Shout out to Long Beach. Yeah, if you want a sweater, go to aretesase.com. The link is right there. But family, listen, we got the capacity to inspire ourselves. See, we can get inspiration from who we are, and we need to get inspiration from who we are. We need to get our own inspiration because we have the lineage, we have the culture, we have the tenacity, we have the wherewithal, and we have the outlook and the vision to pass that on to future generations. So family, listen, you better acknowledge the three parts of who you are. See, there are three parts of you, family. There are three parts of you. You have the ancestral part, meaning your past. You have your present. And you have the next generation, which is your future. And you are part of your own generation because the future you, that's another person. The future you is you, but it is also another person because you're not going to be the same person you were 10 years ago. If you are, you shouldn't be. And I'm not talking about as far as your character. You should, if you have a certain character and you have good character, you should always maintain the same good character. But just in terms of wisdom, ideology, certain things you're doing in life, a lot of you are going to be different people than you were 10 years ago. You're going to be different 10 years from now. You dig? You're going to be a new person. Your present self should start giving game to that person in the future. You understand? And your present self needs to start getting the wisdom of your ancestral self. We are our ancestors. I'm just trying to give you some of the game about the spirit of Aretasese. This is the spirit of Aretasese. We gain a lot of stuff from our ancestral past because a lot of stuff that was done in the past, we can learn what to do and what not to do. We can get strength and inspiration from our ancestors and our past selves. When you were younger, ladies and gentlemen, you would do things right, you would do things wrong, and if you were smart enough, you would learn from what you did right and what you did wrong. You can look back at yourself 10 years from now when you were a teenager. You did something wrong, you did something right, you look at what you did right, you look at what you did thorough that made people give you respect and honor, you look at some of the things that got you in trouble, and then you learn from that, and you give that game to the present you. You see, you live and learn from your past. And right now, in the present, ladies and gentlemen, you're supposed to be giving game to the future you. You're supposed to be setting it up so that the future you will be thorough. You're going to start making decisions now that's going to make sure the future you is going to be good. You understand? That's the spirit of Aretasese. Look, when I was young, dude, I wrote a book called The Art of Mackin. I had to sacrifice to write that book because, again, I'm a young dude, mid-20s. I'm single, no kids, women cooperating crazy, the clubs are popping. I said, you know what? Let me do something for the future me. Let me buckle down for a few months. Let me not go out to the clubs. Let me not party. Let me not get with all the ladies like that. The women ain't going nowhere. Let me buckle down for about 4 or 5 months. Let me lock myself in the crib. You got to put your head down sometimes, family. Sometimes, man, you got to put your head down and get some work done before you go out here and start celebrating. You see, we want to celebrate too much without getting work done. See, you celebrate, ladies and gentlemen, you celebrate after a victory. You celebrate after a win. A lot of times people ain't winning, but you celebrating, and the celebration turns into chaos when there's nothing really to celebrate. So I said, let me buckle down. Let me stay out the streets for a minute. I'm going to lock myself in the crib and write this book. I wrote the book, The Art of Mackin. Put that book out, man. Huge selling book. Launched my career. Still get money off that book now. That book took care of me. Me buckling down back in the 90s in the present, looking out for the future. I said, if I write this book, all I got to do is sacrifice not going out, which ain't nothing. I ain't missing nothing. Let me get this popping and my future self is going to be good. And my future self is good. I'm good now. That book got it popping. I run into people now everywhere I go. I run into white people who say, man, I read your book when I was in college and it changed my life. I meet brothers every day. Man, I read your book in college, changed my life. Been a fan ever since. You dig? Been a fan ever since. You see? So the point is, we gain wisdom and knowledge from the past. Use it in the present so that we can give game to our future selves and also our future generations. This is for our offspring too. We got to give some game to them. What we're doing now, ladies and gentlemen, creating our own holiday, or what does that say? We're giving our next generation and our future self cultural relevance and significance so that they can honor who they are and gain strength from that. Especially around this time of year when you have the image of white Santa Claus all over the place. Instead of giving a fantasy, we can tell the truth about history. Because when we're talking about Rukta Sese, we're talking about truth, what really happened. Our people rose up around this time of year to get their freedom. They used a lot of cunning, wit, and ingenuity to raise up out of bondage to get their freedom. That's inspirational and it's real. No man slid down a chimney and all of that reindeer stuff. We can teach them real stuff. And no more white Jesus stuff either. Because right now, around this time of year, our children, they're getting inundated with images of white Jesus and white Santa Claus. So we have to have something that balances that out, some truth that balances that out. And that's where we are with our Foundation of Black American Holiday, Rukta Sese, which is celebrated every year, December 24th. Now, tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow all day, ladies and gentlemen, we should be tweeting and using the hashtag Rukta Sese all day tomorrow. All right? All day tomorrow, we should be tweeting using the hashtag Rukta Sese all day. All day nonstop and get it trending. Because we got to understand, Juneteenth, that was something created by us. We created Juneteenth. And now, look, years later, it's a national holiday. We set the trend, guys. We have to continue to set the trend. Now, we got to be very careful because now they are co-opting Juneteenth. You see? They're co-opting it and mixing it up with so much other stuff. But I digress. That's another story. Yeah, Harriet Tubman. Yeah, this is our Santa right here. Our freedom fighters. Harriet Tubman. Other ones. These are our freedom fighters. These are our heroes. Real people who did real heroic things. Yeah? So we're here. Everybody retweet this broadcast. Let everybody know that we're live right now. Let everybody know that we're live right now. I got to give a, speaking of white people, rest in peace. What's that brother's name who was, he was a dancer on the Ellen show. He was the DJ and the dancer. What was the brother's name? I hate that I'm getting old. I be forgetting names. My brother passed away. What was his name? Was it Trick something? What was his name? Tricky? What was his name? Y'all help me in the chat room. What is that brother's name? Twitch. Okay, I knew it was something with a T. Okay, Twitch. The brother Twitch, he was on the Ellen show. Black man, he was on Ellen DeGeneres' show. And my brother, DJ Twitch, so he seemed like the epitome of happiness. He was on Ellen's show dancing. You know what? Somebody said I need to write a positive self-help book. For FBA Friedman. You know what? That's absolutely true, and I'm going to be doing that. But listen what I'm saying, guys. Hold on. Listen. Shout out to the Cash Apps for everybody. Rest in power to the brother Twitch. Twitch committed suicide, unfortunately. This brother committed suicide. Now, here's the thing, family. This brother would be dancing on Ellen's show. He made a bunch of TikTok videos and Instagram videos where he's dancing. And this facade that a lot of us have, where we have to pretend to be happy all the time when we're suffering inside. This is why we need to be in positions where we can speak truth to power. This is why we need to be in a position where we can speak truth to power. Listen to me, family, listen. Having to get up every day and basically buck dance for white people, because unfortunately that's what our brother had, he was doing. And I'm not saying that to denigrate our brother. But my man had to get up there, and in order to be accepted, the dominant society, they want you to literally dance sometimes. Yeah, he's married to a white woman. Yeah, my man, you had to do all that. And let me tell you something. I know it was killing him inside, because that's not who we are. That's not who we are. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be a performer for white people all the time. And this man had to be a performer all the time. You had to keep up this facade, just like Sammy Davis Jr. You know, he was suffering internally because he had to laugh and joke and be the butt of the racist jokes. And Sammy had a very dark thing going on. Sammy was messing around with the Church of Satanism and stuff. He was up there messing with Anton LaVey and all of these people. Sammy was all song and dancing and tap dancing. He was a phenomenal, talented brother. But behind the scenes, this dude was with the Church of Satan. There was some dark stuff going on. That kills your spirit, having to buck dance. That's why it's important to be around like-minded people, so that you can be yourself, man. It's important, man, where you can be around like-minded people so you can be yourself. That's why the barbershops became so popular in black society. People always say the barbershop, that's the black man's social club. To a certain degree, it was, because when black people started moving to the North around World War I, you were in segregated places. You couldn't really speak out at the job. You couldn't really venture outside of certain urban areas. It was very dangerous for black people. They make it seem like all the racism was just in the South. No, if in the North, you couldn't. Yeah, you better study Sammy. A lot of folks don't know he was into Satanism. Y'all didn't know that? I get on Master P and Romeo in a minute. Y'all did not know about Sammy Davis Jr. and that Satanism thing? Google that. Google that, guys. A lot of folks don't know about this stuff. We're going to do some history today. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today. But a lot of black folks, when they moved to the North, they needed a place and venues to really speak their minds. You couldn't do it in church like you wanted to, because churches were, they would monitor churches around that time. You know, you know, they had a lot of ops in these churches, so you couldn't really say too much in these churches. You had a couple of Prince Hall Masonic lodges, but a lot of folks didn't want to have to go through all of those rituals to become a part of the lodge. So the only other safe place for black men to really get a lot of stuff off their chest were barbershops. You could be around other people. You didn't have prying eyes of ops in there like in certain churches. So those barbershops in the North, that's where a lot of black men could just get a lot of stuff off their chest and just really speak their minds about a lot of things, so that they can just cope and just dump. Sometimes you got to dump all that stuff out. And a lot of times, man, when you don't have anybody to dump that stuff with, it messes with your soul. That's why a lot of these dudes, when they are, like Sammy was dating, was married to these white women, and this brother Twitch had a white wife. You can't really get stuff off your chest with these white women. You understand what I'm saying? You can't really, you know, when you're dealing with stuff throughout the day, you still got to come home and play the same role to a certain degree. You can't really get that stuff off your chest with your white significant other, because they don't really understand what you're going through. And again, they still understand the power and the privileges they get from the dominant society. So you can't even relate at home in your bedroom to somebody who can understand where you're coming from. Like if you have a black significant other, you can come and just kind of chop it up with your significant other, and y'all both get stuff off your chest, and you feel each other and you comfort each other to a certain degree. You know you got each other's back. You can't do that with a white significant other, to be honest. you still have to play a damn role to a certain degree. You dig? And that kills a lot of people inside. Even the tethers, that messes with them inside. Like, look at this right here, for example. Now, this right here, this is an example of somebody. This is a TikTok video. This is an example of somebody having to play a role at home. Now, this woman is clearly a tether. She's like, I might be a seven to blacks. Hold on. I'm not going to play the audio. It's just music playing. But I'm a 10 to colonizers with a slave fetish. You see what I'm saying? Let me play that again. That type of stuff, when you got a white significant other, you got to do all this type of nonsense. All right. You see what I'm saying? So that type of stuff, family, especially if you're a black man, it's not in a man's nature to have to bottle in how he feels like that. You dig? Yeah, guys, I know. Yes, I know. But that kills a person, that kills your spirit having to buck dance like that. That kills your soul having to buck dance like that. And going to a job and having to be fake all day, that kills your spirit. Somebody said, where's our land? Well, this is our land here. What are you talking about? This is our land here. We're on our land right now. Shout out to Samani Welbeck. Shout out to Samani Welbeck. So RIP to the brother Twitch having to deal with what he was dealing with. That's unfortunate that our brother had to take his life like that. He was suffering in silence. And this is why, family, I want to help create spaces where we can go and we chop it up. That's why we got the event happening down there in Dallas, the FBA Expo. I want us to be able to be around like-minded people so that we can talk about things pertinent to our community, so we can get stuff off of our chest. This is why we have so much strife going on, because we have so much stuff bottled up. We don't know how to relate to people to get stuff off of our chest. We don't know how to chop it up with people. That's why we need to start creating institutions. That's why we got the museum, and people can come and be around other like-minded people all the time. And we're doing events where we can come in and talk about anything, be around our own like-minded brothers and sisters, doing business with each other, networking with each other, vibing with each other. We don't have to put on fronts for each other. We're just being ourselves, enjoying our family, man, without the riff-raff nonsense. You dig? Yes, the museum. This is why we got the museum popping. So people, we're going to have events at the museum all the time. We're going to have all types of events there. Yeah? For the community. You come on in, we got events. People just chopping it up and vibing. Somebody said there's too much infighting. Well, the thing is, the infighting comes when there's no focus. You notice that? The infighting comes when nobody's focused on nothing. Normally, look, whenever you see a lot of people fighting and bickering for nothing, it's two things. Usually when people are just doing idle BS, when you're just hanging out. When you're just hanging out, usually at clubs, bars, the Waffle House, you dig? Because what happens is the Waffle House fights start after the club is over. You dig? And you couldn't fight in the club because the club has security. So then you go to the Waffle House and ain't too much security at the Waffle House. So the people you wanted to fight at the club, you can go fight them at the Waffle House, because everybody's just at the Waffle House treating that as a club. And I'm using Waffle House as a stand-in for a lot of after-hour spots that we go to after the club. But notice, you see a lot of videos of Waffle House fights late at night, because it ain't just about eating. People in there trying to kick it and just lounge, and then that turns into conflict. When there's no plan, when there's no focus, it eventually, the energy turns negative and it turns into conflict. When people are focused and everybody has an agenda, we want to come in here and be about empowerment, the energy is different. For example, we just had the FBA reparations rally in DC. positive energy. Everybody was on their P's and Q's. Thousands of people came out. Everybody was fly. Everybody was cool. All love. The only negative energy were ops who were sent in by white mommy, white daddy. But their energy could not even dissipate the positive energy and the constructive energy that the FBA family had. So their energy was ineffective. You see? You understand? So we got to understand how the energy works. When groups of people come in with a goal and you're focused on something constructive, that right there is about 80% of the problem when it comes to alleviating negative energy and people infighting. You dig? When the energy is that positive, the infighting energy just goes, it dissipates. You understand? We got to understand the game. Now, before I forget, people ask me about the whole situation with Master P and his son Romeo. Y'all hear about that situation? Romeo has been going off on his dad, Master P. Romeo has been going off on his dad. He's been kind of talking greasy about his dad, saying, oh, his dad did this. And, well, what is he actually saying? I'm trying to understand. I think Romeo was upset that one of his siblings committed suicide. Rest in peace to the sister, one of Master P's daughters. She committed suicide. She was going through mental health stuff. And I think Master P put up a tweet speaking about mental health because somebody died. I think probably around the Twitch guy. It might have been the Twitch guy. But Romeo was like, well, Dad, how you sound like a hypocrite. How you going to sit up here and talk about him? And there's mental illness in our family. So Romeo was like, yeah, man, we ain't got the kind of money we supposed to have. And whoop-de-whoop. And we out here fronting. And I think Romeo was very disrespectful. I think Romeo was very disrespectful. I think Romeo was extremely disrespectful. That wasn't cool what Romeo did. He said Master P took away all his money. Romeo was in the wrong on that. Look, Romeo has a career because of his dad. Romeo has a career because of his dad. Yeah? He's saying his dad's putting up a front. Yeah, that's disrespectful. You don't do that, man. And your dad was there for you. Look, Romeo was put on by his pops. I remember doing a show on BET. They had a show called Old Drama. I remember being at the backstage before we went on around 2000, 2001, something like that. And I remember being backstage and Master P was... I think they performed on the show. I remember back Master P came in. He was backstage with us. And Romeo was right there, had his son with him. I would see Master P, Romeo shadowing him. He had his son with him all the time. Master P sacrificed for his family. Master P did all the hard work so his family could breeze through as much as they could. Master P put in a lot of work. I can't respect that dude disrespecting his father like that. His father put him on. You dig? He sounds very ungrateful. See, Romeo's trying to sound like these white kids. These spoiled white kids who sit up here and your parents give you everything and give you a lane and then you want to disrespect your parents. No, that don't work on black families, bro. Yeah, we don't know the details, but yeah. But that ain't cool, Romeo. That's just not cool. Yeah, his dad got him a show. Your dad puts you on, man. You don't disrespect your dad like that. Yeah, you don't disrespect your pops like that. Yeah? Yeah, then Bow Wow was disrespecting Jermaine Dupri, and then the brat had to check Bow Wow. Yeah, we got these little new generation dudes who... You had somebody give you a lane. You can't dump on Jermaine Dupri. Jermaine Dupri made you. Bow Wow? Jermaine Dupri gave you a lane. And the thing is, a lot of these cats get this entitlement thing. You want people to just continue to give you a lane. Jermaine Dupri is doing him. He's living his own life, and you want him to give you a lane. My contractor keeps calling me. Hold on, guys. Hold on. What's up, guy? Okay. He's there early?
Right now it's 12 o'clock. You know what, it's 12:30?
Okay, I didn't know y'all were coming this early. Let me check and see who's there.
Yeah, tell me
if
people are working
until 3 o'clock. Right. All right. Damn, man. I'm sorry about that, guys. I've been going through stuff with my contractors. We're doing a lot of stuff with the building. You dig? We're working hard to get this museum popping, family. We're working very hard to get this museum popping. There's a lot of micromanagement stuff that's going on. Hold on. Let me tell them. Hold on. Let me tell him something. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on, guys. Go around to the back and go in. Hold on. Yeah, I got a lot of people. Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry about that, guys. I'm sorry about that, guys. God, it's a busy day. That's why I've been so busy. This is the shit I've been doing all week, man. We're working hard to get this stuff together. We got painters, people putting in the floor. We're just doing a million things, and you just got to micromanage every little thing, every little thing. What do you want us to do with the toilet? We got to paint the molding. Yeah, we're getting it. We're getting it together. Yeah. So like I said, I'm sorry, guys. Sorry, guys. All right. But yeah, like I said, man, all of that ungrateful stuff, that ain't cool. That is not cool whatsoever. All of that ungrateful stuff, that is not cool whatsoever. You dig? Oh, wait. Oh, wait. Did somebody say, oh, you guys are Mexican contractors? Oh, Lord. Here's the bad faith arguments. Oh, here's the bad faith arguments. Uh-oh. Are we doing the bad faith arguments? Oh, Lord. Don't do the bad faith arguments. Yo, don't start the bad faith. Don't start that bad faith bullshit. Don't even start that stuff. Lord. These non-arguments. Oh, Lord. Yeah. We're doing it. We're making stuff pop off. Yeah, people, yeah, if you want to contribute to the museum, that would be great. Go to hiddenhistorymuseum.com, man. We're getting this stuff popping. Oh, yeah, here they go. Hold on. Here they go. The plebiscite babble. Uh-oh. You know the plebiscite babble because they ain't really got no argument. You know, they ain't got no argument, so they got to concoct an argument. Yeah. So then the plebiscite babbling. So now you're going to see a dozen videos of plebiscite babbling trolls. There's some Mexican contractors. He ain't keeping it real. Oh, God. Okay. Hold on one second, guys. Man. So you know the plebiscite babbling is coming. The plebiscite babbling is coming. But it's all good. But like I said about Romeo, I think that was very disrespectful. That was real disrespectful of Romeo. That wasn't cool. Oh, let's go to the bad faith. Oh, before we go, hold on. Let's go to the bad faith chart. We already know the bad faith arguments were coming up. Hold on. We already got that on the bad faith argument chart. Okay. Once we get the museum popping, which we're getting it popping now. Here come up and coming bad faith tether complaints when the museum opens. Okay. Why are there just two restrooms? Why is there no parking? Why is there no food, nigga? Where's the movie theater? Why is there only one wheelchair ramp? Why no Afro beats in here, nigga? Why is there no third floor? Why is there no LGBT representation? Why is the plumber Hispanic? So yeah, that was already on there. That was coming. We already knew that one. Yeah. Why is the plumber Hispanic? Is the museum secretly funded by the Illuminati? So yeah, those are typical plebiscite babbling, bad faith complaints. Nothing burgers. All right. So we already know how bad faith bullshit arguments go down. Oh, yeah, we already know. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, why is the plumber Hispanic? Yeah. Yeah, we already know that's coming. All bad faith arguments. Yeah. Yeah, why is it not free, nigga? Yeah. Man. So look. But I hope Romeo and his dad, I hope they get it together. I just think that was very disrespectful of Romeo, disrespecting your dad. You don't put your dad out there and disrespect your dad when your dad gave you a lane. This sense of entitlement, that's not a good look. That's not cool. That's not cool whatsoever. Speaking of disrespect, oh yeah, failures love to nitpick at all of those are nitpicking distractions to hide the fact that they don't have anything popping themselves. You dig? Speaking of things not popping, did y'all see some of the reviews for that new Whitney Houston movie where they got a non-FBA playing Whitney Houston, which I'm not going to see. And many of us are rejecting because we saw that, you know, it wasn't going to be popping like that. This is the New York Post. I Want to Dance with Somebody review. The Whitney Houston biopic is a travesty. So even they're calling it out. That's why, yeah, this movie is going to flop. We ain't really rocking with this. We're not trying to see a non-FBA play one of our icons. And let's look at some of the things they're saying in the movie, in the reviews. Okay, hold on. Let me get down. Let me see. This is the thing that stood out to me. The film wades into later revelations that Whitney Houston was secretly bisexual. Early on, as a rebel who refused to wear dresses, she makes out with her best friend Robin, played dweebishly by Nafessa Williams. The pair move in together, though the movie steers clear of the bedroom. So now they got them doing some, they had to put some agenda in there, guys. This is why we ain't really rocking with it. Yeah, I saw the trailer when they had the Robin character. I said, oh Lord, it's about to be an agenda. And here they go. They're slipping in that agenda stuff. And let me see. The same goes for Whitney Houston's drug use. They never make clear when she first started using cocaine, nor at one point. You won't find out here. Out of nowhere, she suddenly becomes a shaky and erratic addict. So they just make her a coke addict out of nowhere and don't explain nothing. Okay. Let me see. The movie feels endless. Many of the musical sequences drag. Unfortunately, the vocals are actually Houston's, but we never fully believe they're coming out of Aki's mouth. Yeah, we just don't believe it. The actress, who doesn't look much like Houston to begin with, lacks her energy and star power. That's what we were saying. That's what we were saying. That woman, this ain't it. No. That's why we ain't rocking with this. We've said that. She's not giving Whitney. We don't get Whitney out of this woman. This woman don't have the same lineage, the same energy. We don't believe her singing these songs. We're not sold. We don't believe you. You need more people. Yeah? You don't have the spirit. You dig? And the producers of this don't have the spirit and the energy. Let me tell you something. The movie Malcolm X that Spike Lee did, that was a phenomenal movie. Spike got robbed off that movie because they didn't give him the right awards. They didn't. Denzel should have gotten best Oscar, best everything with that movie. That was a phenomenal movie, the Malcolm X movie. The movie had the right spirit because Spike, FBA brother, came in it with the right respect and spirit for the subject. Denzel, FBA brother, channeled the energy of Malcolm. Denzel's from New York. He grew up in a time where Malcolm was a thing as a young man. You dig? That's why the energy was there. That's why the energy was there. The What's Love Got to Do With It movie. They were robbed on that one too. Angela Bassett, FBA sister. playing an FBA icon, even though Tina Turner's walking around here with a damn British accent. She's still an FBA icon. Lawrence Fishburne played an FBA icon, even though Ike was abusive. Ike was one of the founders of rock and roll, put out one of the first rock and roll records. They carried that energy. You understand? The energy is very important. That energy is very important, ladies and gentlemen. You did? Oh, Angela did a phenomenal job on What's Love Got to Do with It. You did? Yeah, Cam'ron as Alpo. Growing up in that era, you grew up around these guys, so you understand the spirit. You understand the energy. You understand the swag. That's something that you don't learn in an acting class. And Denzel talked about certain things. He said, as an actor, when you come from a certain part of the culture, there's certain nuances that other people can't understand. He was talking about how a lot Martin Scorsese does Italian films and has a lot of Italian actors. He understands Italian nuances that other people might understand. Denzel broke it down like, as a black person, you understand parts of black culture. You understand on Sunday the smell of a hot comb in the room when people getting ready for church. That's something, that's a cultural thing that a lot of folks just don't get if you're not a part of the culture. You understand? I'll give you another example. Our Boochie Bear cartoon. One of the favorite characters a lot of people love, they love the Percy Earl character. They love the character of Percy Earl. They love that. And what's funny about Percy Earl, in order to understand in the comedy of Percy Earl, you have to be a part of FBA culture. One funny part of the lady, and we got another one, Boochie Bear cartoon that's going to be out in a few weeks. That's so damn funny. It's so damn funny. But one part of the Boochie Bear cartoon that the last episode that was very funny, when Percy Earl was working on his fence singing Johnny Taylor, people found that very funny. Just the nuance of that. He's working on his fence singing old Johnny Taylor song, singing Disco Lady. Just that's an FBA nuance that you got to get. You would have to grow up in that culture to even get that. Everybody loves the Percy Earl character because you know somebody in your family, the old black man like Percy Earl, who talks a gang of shit, sings blues songs under his breath. That's something that somebody outside the culture, you can't really capture that. You know? That's a part of the culture. Yeah. Yeah. That's a cultural thing. So that's why a lot of these people who play these non-FBA people who try to play our roles, they don't capture all the nuances of it. The energy ain't there. The spirit ain't really there. I mean, you might have the acting chops, just like Cynthia Erivo playing Harriet. We weren't feeling it. We weren't feeling Cynthia Erivo playing Harriet. All that bucking our eyes, running around, no. That wasn't Harriet's spirit. We knew what Harriet's spirit was. That wasn't Harriet's spirit. Running around crying and bucking your damn eyes. But no. Oh, Lord. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. Lead me to the North Star, Lord. No. 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 Yeah. That wasn't us. We weren't feeling that. So we go in things with a different spirit. We go in things with a different energy. We go in things, we understand certain situations that a lot of outsiders don't understand. For example, we understand that for the most part, many of us understand that you can't be buck dancing for these people in the dominant society too long because they will turn on you. We know that. We know that they'll turn on you at a certain point. That's why they like to get non-FBA tethers to do their dirty work. There's another story that came out of New York. Let me show you guys this. This guy right here, this non-FBA dude up in New York, he's a lawyer. this dude right here, this dude, he defended the NYPD in court. What they would do, all of these cases in New York, they were brutalizing black people. They would get him to represent them. He would be their house Negro that they would bring in court to splain for them. So for 11 years, Carl Ashanti represented the New York City cops in civil rights cases. Then they charged his ass with a crime he didn't commit. So they turned on him. They ended up turning on him. He did all that cape and he was the Negro whisperer, and they ended up turning on this fool. You see? Sam Boeing never pays, ladies and gentlemen. There is no retirement plan in Sam Boeing. You understand? There's no retirement plan in that, ladies and gentlemen. This dude thought it was one way and it was another damn way. Fool. This is why we try to tell these folks, hey, man, all that buck dancing you're doing, you might not want to do that, man. That's going to turn out bad. Oh, no, nigga. No, you just don't understand. What about black on black crime? Okay, all right, going in there. Going in there, watch what happens. And then when they going in and you get broken, you want to come slither back around us. Nah, go back. Don't come slithering around us. We tried to warn you. We tried to warn you. Yeah? Oh, yeah, Chris Darden. Yeah, with Chris Darden did all that buck dancing and tried to slither back around. Nope, going back somewhere, bro. You're going to always learn the hard way. You're going to learn the hard way here. Yeah? But listen, man, we got to be on code. We got to be on point. And we have to look to ourselves to get the strength that we need. We don't have to look to any outside forces. Right now, we got so much momentum going. When we start looking at our lineage family as foundational Black Americans, look at all the traction that we've gotten so far. Just in the last couple of years alone, looking at our lineage and respecting our lineage and identifying ourselves based on our lineage, look at how much progress we're starting to make. You did? Especially with talks of the reparations and other things. And notice again, when we start talking about reparations and some of these task force out here, we're going to have to start looking closely at them because of the plebiscite babbling that we're seeing. All of these people who are from these organizations that's been around forever and ain't got nothing done, they start coming around us trying to undermine what we got going on. So we got to keep our eyes and ears open, guys. We got to watch out for these people who are for years telling us we ain't gonna get reparations, we ain't gonna get nothing, we ain't gonna get nothing, telling us for years what the hell we ain't gonna get. These same people are now trying to slither around to undermine what we got going on. Look at this white Hispanic woman talking about reparations and trying to denigrate us getting our reparations. I want y'all to hear this. Listen to this. Hold on. Y'all bear with me on this. Listen to this real quickly. Hold on. Hold on. Where we at?
Newsom in California wants to hand out $500 billion in reparations.
Over 40% of the population in California is Latino. You're having people who are the object of persecution pay for the reparations of people who just don't want to work. California is home to over 11 million immigrants from all over the world, not just Latinos. Immigrants who came here with less than nothing, not being able to speak English, who managed to build their wealth without leeching off of other Americans. Up until 1848, California belonged to Mexico. Slavery ended in 1860. There was only ever 1,500 slaves in California, and their only job was mining. They didn't build California at all. If you look at any construction working team in California, mostly Latinos. Slaves didn't build California. Free people with dreams did. Not to mention that Latinos are part Native American, which they were slaves as well, and massacred at 90% of the population. This is probably the most ridiculous bill that Democrats have tried to pass. All Latinos want is citizenship and the ability to work in America. While you have Americans trying to live off the tax dollars of Latinos who are still persecuted in America to this day.
Wow. Boy, the projection. Boy, did y'all hear the projection? Wow. Ma'am, if it was so popping, how come you didn't build up your home back home? We got all of these programs that sit here and paper up all of these folks who come over here. Boy, the ungrateful, contemptuous hating. Boy, all of the projection. We're trying to leech off you? Wow. You're coming over here off our tax dollars, but we're leeching off you. All of these DACA programs, which is the Dreamer program, based on Martin Luther King's dream speech. All of that is projection, man. We did build California and the rest of the United States. The money used to purchase California came from the U.S. government, and that money came from the enslavement and the money that was generated from our enslavement. Oh, yes, we did build California and the rest of the damn United States. You understand? And we've been here. We've been here longer than any other group. There's always been black people here on the North American continent and in the area known as Mexico. There were black people. The original inhabitants were black. If we want to be real, all these Johnny come lately people trying to come in and undermine us. And what's interesting, some of these same folks, they're going to start talking about how they need to be getting reparations too. That's what this is about. They're going to start trying to finesse reparations for themselves. Some of these white Latinos, they're going to start trying to fight for reparations and finesse reparations for themselves. See, they're upset. The racist ones, they're upset because they're not included. We're not doing the black and brown stuff. We're doing lineage-based. We're very meticulous about who's going to get it. Foundational black Americans. You dig? Let's be very clear. Somebody said we're really the chosen, God's chosen people. Real, if you want to be real, you want to talk about people who are the ones. Man, look at foundational black Americans, man. We are the most persecuted, the most imitated, the most undermined, been through the most stuff, longer than anybody. You dig? And we influence damn near everything. Do you understand what I'm saying, family? Let me talk to you, the foundation of Black American family. You've influenced almost everything on this planet right now, culturally. You, foundation of Black Americans. See, we've been told that we got to give our culture away to other people. No, you, foundation of Black Americans. You are the chosen ones. For real, for real. The fact that you are still here after all that you've been through, and you can still have a retrocesse, meaning you can still arise. This is what a retrocesse means. You can still arise and still be great. You are the one. You are the Neo in the Matrix. You are the one, ladies and gentlemen. You are the salt of the earth. You are the cream of the crop. This is why everybody comes and try to undermine you all the time. You don't undermine people who are not great. You do not undermine people who do not have innate greatness. You have innate greatness, ladies and gentlemen. My foundational Black American family. And you're already born with it. It's already in your lineage. You are the one. Foundational Black Americans. You keep rising after all you've been through. You are the one. You are the Neo in the Matrix. You are the one. And we got to understand all these other people who try to undermine us, who've been trying to undermine our claims for years. When we start talking about what we need to do as far as reparations, understand all of these other groups for years, you ain't going to get no reparation. Don't get the white man reparation. How you going to get reparation? You ain't got no nationality. And all. Remember all that talk that the plebiscite babblers were doing? And the plebiscite babblers be clicked in with some of these racist Latinos against us, by the way, too. Let's go to church today. Can we get real today? Can we get real? I might have to get offensive today. Should I go there on a retrocesse eve? Should we just speak truth to power? All of these buffoons who were telling us we ain't gonna get nothing because we got to get the status correction and nationalize, and black is not a color. All of that stuff. All of these plebiscite babbling Negroes. Notice how they start popping up in the reparations conversations all of a sudden. Oh, let's go there. Let's go there. Let's keep it real today, guys. On a Rutta-Sussy Eve. Let's keep it real today. All of these fez-wearing fools and other buffoons would pop up in our circles. All of a sudden, you want to talk at the reparations hearings now. You want to chime in on reparations, and you were the main people telling us we ain't going to get nothing. These were the main Negroes telling us we weren't going to get nothing. Hold on, guys. We're going to go there today. Hold on. Hold on. Yes. The ramp. It's my contractors. I'm sorry, guys. Okay. Hold on. Damn, everybody's texting me. Hold on, guys. Okay, sorry about that. I'm sorry, guys. All right, sorry. All right. So let's go here. Let's go here. We're talking about the plebiscite babbling buffoons. Let's go here for a minute. Let's be real, because we got to talk about these fez-wearing plebiscite buffoons. Let me go here for a minute, because we got to reevaluate the Moorish Science Temple of America. Let me go there for a minute. Because when we see some of the... Notice, like last week, we did a whole bunch of shows talking about who is this? Damn. I'm not going to answer this right now. We did a bunch of shows last week. A lot of us were talking about these plebiscite babbling, fez wearing buffoons coming around, babbling and trying to undermine the reparations conversations. Were any Moorish Science Temple Negroes in here? Let's get real about these Negroes. And yeah, when we see them, when you have pieces of shit as your representatives, like Taharka Bay, who's a piece of shit, other people, Sabir Bay is a piece of shit. All of these pieces of filth representing your organization, we have to start looking at that organization and what it's really about. We got to start doing a deep dive into that organization. I'm saying the Moorish Science Temple of America, to be honest, ain't shit as an organization. Yeah, you might have a couple of people who are cool. Jose Pimenta Bay, I like him. He's a part of the Moorish Science Temple of America. He's a great historian. But they're so far in between, man. When you have all of these people who ain't shit a part of your organization, that means the root of the organization ain't shit. Let me go there. I'm saying the Moorish Science Temple of America, as an organization, y'all ain't worth a damn as an organization. What has the Moorish Science Temple of America done constructively in the last 100 years? They've been around for 100 years and they ain't really got shit to show for it. But a bunch of plebiscite babbling buffoons. I'm going there today. Oh no, they don't claim Taharka. Yes, they do. That's another, no. Yes, Taharka Bay is a grand sheik of that bullshit. Don't try to distance yourself from the bullshit, niggas. No, he's a part of it. He represents that organization. I've had a couple of them Negroes try to disown Taharka, bitch. No. That's your guy. You ain't going to disown that dude. He represents that organization. And you allow him to represent your organization. And you know that he's a sexual abusing, child abusing, a woman abusing piece of filth. And so many other people. Sabir Bay, that nigga owes me money for a judgment. I have to sue this nigga for bootlegging movies. Years ago, I've been dealing with these plebiscite babbling con artists from the Moorish Science Temple for years. And let's look back and be real. What has the, I'm asking you guys, what has the Moorish Science Temple of America done for black society or anything constructive in the last 100 years? What have they done? Let's just use logic. I like to use logic. The Moorish Science Temple ain't done shit. They have not done nothing, contributed nothing, built nothing. All they got is a bunch of scammy ass plebiscite babbling frauds running around here. Bootlegging movies. Nothing. Let's be real. They have not done nothing. If you've been around this long and you ain't doing nothing, you ain't really done nothing. You have nothing going on but selling bullshit ass sovereign citizens packages. Let's keep it a buck. Some of these organizations that's just lurking around, we have to look and see what's the constructive result of these organizations. Nothing. All they do is have these federal ass, agent ass Negroes running around here undermining the stuff. Selling jive ass status correction scams. Scamming. Let's keep it a buck. The Moorish Science Temple, if you're in here, come on in and get some of this work. Y'all ain't done nothing. It's a bunch of clowns associated with that organization. And let's do a deep dive. You said the Moorish Science Temple is great. How so? Let's look back at the history of the Moorish Science Temple, because when you have so many people who are janky as hell, that's a part of an organization, because every time you look up, if some nigga with a fez then stole somebody's house, they then moved into somebody's house, I'm a sovereign citizen and I'm laying claim to this property. It's always a scam. It's always a damn scam. Keep it a buck. It's always scammy with these dudes. Let's look at the history of the people who started it. Because you can't be this scammy without the root being somewhat scammy and janky and questionable. Because when we look back, I'm starting to look back, I'm like, wait a minute. When I look at some of these Moorish Science Temple dudes, who ain't scammy? You can count on one hand who ain't on a scam. Keep it a buck. You can count on one hand who's not scamming. So when it's that bad, when most of the people are scamming and the non-scammers are far in between, that means the root of it ain't right. You dig? Oh, let's get into it. Let's look. The Moorish Science Temple, founded by Noble Drew Ali, whose real name was Walter Brister. They tried to lie and say he was from South Carolina somewhere. No, he's not. Noble Drew Ali's name was Walter Brister. He was from Kentucky. And he was a circus performer. He was working in the circus. He was a child star on Broadway. And around the late 1800s, because he was a child star in the late 1800s, working on Broadway, touring around the country, touring around the world, actually. Walter Brister, that's his name. In the late 1800s, early 1900s, there was a big Orientalist movement going on where they would have circuses and they would have black people play Arabs, play Moorish jugglers, and they would have them play Egyptians. They would have them play these exotic Easterners. They would have them play East Indians. Listen to me. They would have a lot of black people play these circus roles, circus characters. And black people found out, if I put on a turban or a fez, I don't get the same racist backlash of just being a regular black person. They started to find this out in the late 1800s, early 1900s. You had people like Grenfell T. Woods, who was a foundation of black American, but a lot of times he would go around and tell people he was from Australia. So they would be less racist. He was a very, very thorough inventor. He invented a lot of stuff. But sometimes he would tell people, well, yeah, I'm actually Australian. I was born in Australia, so that they wouldn't treat him as bad as they would treat the foundation of black Americans. they would treat foundational Black Americans a certain way, but certain other people who were from Eastern cultures, they wouldn't treat them as hostile. And Noble Drew Ali, early on, aka Walter Brister, he learned this while working in the circus. He would take on these identities of these exotic others, and you know, he would dance and play the flute and all of this stuff. No, let me get on that Timothy Drew stuff in a minute. Timothy Drew, no, I get on that. Let me break that Timothy Drew stuff down. That Timothy Drew stuff came later. Walter Brister and his wife, he had a wife named Eva Brister, that was his wife, and she was a circus performer too. She would perform in the circus with him. She would be a snake charmer, all right? She would later be in the Morris Science Temple as well after they divorced, and there's pictures of him and her, Ava, her name was Ava Allen later on, a part of the Morris Science Temple. The Walter Brister dude actually faked his death. He was a magician. So they would do magic acts and all of this stuff. So this dude eventually, around 1914, he faked his death and then reemerged as Professor Drew. All right, follow me on this. He reemerged as Professor Drew in New Jersey, I think. Walter Brister took on the identity of his brother. His brother's name was Timothy Drew or Thomas Drew. Listen, his brother was adopted by his mom's husband. That's where the Drew name comes in. The man's name was Drew. Last name was Drew. I think Jonathan Drew or something like that. So his brother was adopted by this man. So he took the name on Timothy Drew or Thomas Drew. Noble Drew Ali, a.k.a. Walter Brister, took on his brother's identity. That's where the Timothy Drew stuff came in. So he started, Noble Drew Ali started off as Professor Drew. He started selling bogus medical elixirs. The rabbit hole is deep. I'm getting deep here. Oh, yeah. While I'm talking, y'all research what I'm saying, okay? While I'm talking, I want you to research what I'm saying. So Noble Drew Ali was conning and scamming early on. He was going around as Professor Drew. Like, yes, I'm an Egyptian healer. First, he was an Egyptian healer. I'm from the Far East, and I'm an Egyptian healer, and I can heal you. So he was selling bullshit medical elixirs. And he was getting arrested. He kept getting arrested for practicing medicine without a license. So he kept getting arrested for selling snake oil, basically. So this is their profit. Okay, I'm giving y'all some insight on the profit of these Morris Science Temple dudes. This is their profit. Noble Drew Ali was a scam artist. He was getting arrested for scamming, practicing medicine without a license, selling these bullshit elixirs. And then he started getting the game from this dude. It was already another dude named Abdul Hamid Suleiman, who was the precursor to Noble Drew Ali. Abdul Hamid Suleiman was out here claiming to be Moorish this, because he was with the Shriners. He had the whole Fez. They were selling the whole Moorish thing. He was telling people he was an Arab, and yeah, follow me, change your status, and everybody convert to Islam. And, you know, he was part of one of these Masonic lodges, Abdul Hamid Suleiman, all right? Running around claiming the Moor thing. The Moor thing started with him. Noble Drew Ali was a student of this guy. Noble Drew Ali was getting game from this Abdul Hamid Suleiman guy. Here's the problem. The Suleiman dude went to jail. And that's when Noble Drew Ali kind of moved in on his hustle. When Abdul Suleiman went to jail, Noble Drew Ali moved right on in on the hustle. Now, Abdul Suleiman went to jail. Why? Molesting a 13-year-old girl. This nigga molested one of his followers. They had some kids, and he molested a 13-year-old, and his ass went to jail. So then Noble Drew Ali moved in on the scam with the Fez and all of that stuff, rocking the Fezes, telling people, you're citizens of Morocco. And then he had the Circle 7 Quran. Noble Drew Ali wrote this Circle 7 Quran, which was basically some plagiarized. He plagiarized it from a couple of white writers. So that was a scam. Y'all Google what I'm saying. Google what I'm saying, guys. Yeah? Listen to what I'm saying. So Noble Drew Ali wrote that Circle 7, or plagiarized it. He scammed that. Everything was a scam. One good thing I'll say, I will say, if it's good, he was the first person to spread the mass movement of Islam among black people, because black people wanted something new. We were going through so much racism, so black people wanted something new. So him telling black people, hey, look, you're not just Negro, you come from the East, we're part of the Moroccan Empire, and whoop-dee, blah, 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 blah. All of this bullshit. And at the time, around 1921, right around the time when he was cultivating the Morisian Temple, there was something called the Rif War going on in Morocco. So you had these black Berbers who were engaging in guerrilla warfare, and they were fighting off the French and the Spanish. So they were putting in some work, and the black press was talking about that. So a lot of black people saw in the black press these black people over there in Morocco with these fezes fighting off white colonial power. So black people were kind of inspired by that. They were like, okay, damn, that's cool. So Noble Drew Ali and those guys kind of capitalized off that. Like, look, look at us. We're the Grady Mite Moroccans and blah. It was a scam, dude. It was a scam. And we're going to be real. Noble Drew Ali, he was up here messing with some underage women. Let me keep it a buck. Noble Drew Ali was, he had a 12-year-old that he got knocked up. A 16-year-old, 14-year-old. So he was out here with some underage girls too. Y'all Google, hey, come on. Where we at? Let's peel the layers back. Now we see. No. Those arguments are not destroyed. These are, no. This is the truth. These arguments were not destroyed. These are facts. These arguments were not destroyed. Plebiscite babbling don't destroy these arguments. Plebiscite babbling don't destroy these arguments. No. You can plebiscite babble all day. These are facts. You can Google these facts. All right, hold on. Noble Drew Ali, statutory rape of a 12-year-old girl. That hasn't been debunked. Everybody ain't lying. All of these niggas ain't no. Everybody ain't lying about these niggas messing with these underage girls, dude. Damn, everybody ain't lying. You think? There's a reason why you see these niggas now. You look at these Negroes now, they got these sexual abuse charges that they, well, I'm going to debunk that. No, that's part of your culture. That's part of your culture. Come on. Google all this stuff. Google it. Noble Drew Ali was messing with them underage girls too. Messing with 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds. Google it. So now you see why you got so many dirt bags associated with that damn organization. The apple doesn't fall too far from the damn tree, does it? The apple don't fall too far from the tree. This organization was poisoned from the get-go. With janky Negroes, and then they started imploding on each other. There was a dude named Claude Green who ended up getting murdered. Claude Green saw the finesse and he wanted to get in on it. He wanted some of the money and he wanted in on the scam. And from what I understand with the Claude Green guy, some of the corrupt white politicians kind of papered him up and pulled him to the side. So he was going to start his own little Moorish community. You dig? Yeah. Look, even now, these niggas are always trying to get out of traffic tickets and child support. That's all they do. It. All it is scammy niggas trying to get out of child support. I can't pay child support. I'm a citizen of Morocco. I have sovereignty. It's always scammy. But listen, the apple don't fall too far from the tree. You dig? So then the Claude Green dude, some corrupt white politicians were papering him up. And then what happened, he broke off from the Morris Science Temple because of money disputes. And some people say he was messing with one of Noble Drew Ali's wives. So they ended up killing this dude. The Morris Science Temple had this dude killed. They shot him and stabbed him up. That made the block hot. That made the whole block hot. And what happened was the white politician that was papering Claude Green up, this dude was connected with the underworld. Remember, this was in Chicago at a time when Capone was still a thing. So Capone was all mixed in with the money and all of that stuff. So then Noble Drew Ali ended up dying mysteriously. Many people believe that he was poisoned. The official thing, he died of tuberculosis, which I don't believe. I think they offed him. So they got a whole history of scamming, dude. And after that whole scandal, the black community and the black press basically turned on the Morris Science Temple. The black press at the time, they were saying that this is a racket. These are a bunch of scammers. If you look at the black press at the time, even they said these people are janky and full of shit. That's why they don't have any traction. That's why the Morris Science Temple, they don't have no traction. Nobody really messes with them. They just here. They just linger around. And what happened in the 1940s during World War II, they got completely infiltrated because a lot of the soldiers were overseas fighting in World War II. So the government, they were afraid that some of these Muslim organizations like the Nation of Islam, and the Nation of Islam came, and let me go back. The Nation of Islam came out of that, and they did what was right and exact. See, what Elijah Muhammad did, he did all the things that Noble Drew Ali was supposed to do without all the damn scamming. All right? Elijah Muhammad came and picked up the mantle and did everything right and exact. That's why their reputation is impeccable. That's why they're still standing strong, standing deep now with the respect they're supposed to get. Elijah Muhammad came and did everything the way it was supposed to be done. Let's do things right and exact. Let's not be out here scamming. Let's not be out here on some pedophile shit. You dig? Let's not be out here selling snake oil. You see? And then, like I said, the FBI infiltrated the Morris Science Temple in the 1940s because they were trying to subvert any type of rising up of the black masses out here. And they got a bunch of ops in the Morris Science Temple. Yeah, the Nation of Islam, very disciplined. They had the discipline that Noble Drew Ali and those guys didn't have. The honor, the respect, the character that the Morris Science Temple did not and does not have. You understand? You don't have no plebiscite babbling buffoons in the Nation of Islam like you do in the Morris Science Temple. You don't have these scammy ass niggas like you do in the Morris Science Temple. You understand? You don't have these lying, plebiscite, babbling buffoons. You just don't have it because the nation takes care of that. They don't want their organization to look bad, so they check that at the door. You got to be right and exact. And the fact that the Morris Science Temple has so many plebiscite, babbling, jive-ass, con-ass buffoons, woman-beating, child-abusing, sex-abusing buffoons out here, that says a lot about their organization and the structure and the root of it. You dig? No, Malcolm said young girls, didn't say underage. Let's get that straight about Elijah Muhammad. There's a reason why Malcolm worded it that way. He said Elijah was young girls, never underage. Elijah Muhammad was not with no underage girls. You see, watch the wording. Noble Drew Ali was with children. And his precursor, Abdul Hamid Suleiman, was with children sexually. You did? Y'all do some research on that. Now, that will explain why you have so many buffoonish-ass plebiscite-babbling clowns associated with the Morris Science Temple. Just the fact that they would have a grand sheik like a clown like Taharqa Bey. That's your representative? That speaks a lot about your organization. You dig? So again, we got to keep these people out of our damn mix. We got to keep people out of our mix and these non-constructive plebiscite babbling buffoons who come around us undermining everything because that's their job, to undermine everything because that's what they've been about. You dig? So that brings clarity to a lot of the plebiscite babbling fez wearers that you see, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, let me get out of here while I celebrate a Rattasase Day. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been real. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I think we had a very constructive conversation today. Happy Rattasase to everybody. Go to Rattasase.com to get your sweater if you don't have it. Stay tuned. I'm going to keep everybody posted on what we're going to do as far as the vending for the event that's happening in Dallas on May 27th. I'll keep you guys posted on that. Anyway, guys, Papi Akuta and Lola Vube to the family. Y'all be good.